Hello there, Peterman here. And this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Out and About with Elaine. Oh my God, I got up this morning, put on the car, and my rear view window is frosted. It's like frosted flakes all over again. So Jim Corbin will be calling in at 7:15 today. We've kind of switched the format just a little bit to accommodate our veterans agent for the city of Attleboro. Ken will be here at 7:35 and talk to us about veteran services. And also, I want to interview him a little bit about his background, too. But for right now, I'm going to do the out and about right now so we can get that out of the way. And then at 7:15, Jim Corbin will be calling in, and then we'll have Ken from the Veterans Department. So how was your week? Oh, my gosh, let me tell you. Have you been invited to an innocent thing called a cookie swap? Yeah, a cookie swap is when a bunch of guys and gals get together, think it's a great idea to make cookies, and then you actually get the final number of cookies. So I have to tell you that I'm going to a cookie swap today at 2 o'clock, and my girlfriend said to me, oh, yeah, we've got four dozen. Okay, great. And then she said, well, now it's six. I said, okay, no problem. Well, I have to tell you, I made 100 cookies because there were eight dozen cookies I had to make. And so from the show, I have to run over to, and I made them all, coconut macaroons, which I've never made before, but they were very easy to do, and I ate a few of them, because I have to be a taste tester as well. But yeah, I have to go to the Christmas tree store. They open at 8 o'clock. I checked already, so from here, I'm going right there and getting the tins and bringing them down to Warwick later today. And then next week, next Thursday at work, we're in a cookie swap too. Same thing, there are eight people, but I said, look, why don't we just make four dozen and we'll just divide them up. So this way, everybody goes home with just four dozen, and that's what we're doing. So needless to say, AACS and WARA 1320 is going to be getting a lot of cookies in the next couple of weeks, because I don't eat a lot of sweets like that. Godiva chocolates, milk chocolate, yes, but a lot of cookies and varieties, no, I don't think so. So tis the season, it's December 2nd. Can you believe I'm saying the word December? I can't believe it either. Christmas trees are out and about, decorations are all in bloom, and I'm still looking for Valentine's candy, but I can't find it. But that'll be coming next week. I just know it. But getting back to our out and about things that we have, we will be reading a story for Christmases for Kids. We want you to know that we have over 900 children that are in need. And today you can call Christmases for Kids from 9 to 5 at 508-226-0911 and ask for a child, and they would be able to match you with your child according to your budget as well. So if you can give a hand, that'd be great. And like I said, we will be reading stories along the way. So listen, there are a couple of things in the news, and basically I wanted to read something about the holiday season. You know, it's all about fire safety, and like all of us go out and we get Christmas trees, whether they're real or not. But if you do get a Christmas tree, Fire Marshal of Massachusetts wants you to know you should water it every single day. And make sure that you keep it far enough away from any heat source, because they don't want to have you have a fire during this holiday season. And one-third of all fires, unfortunately, are happening with Christmas tree fires. And it could cause, it could be by an electrical problem or heat or even one of those bulbs, you know. So make sure that you always turn off your Christmas lights before you leave the house or you go to sleep at night. And if you're burning candles, make sure that they are also turned off. I do want to mention that there is a Better Business Bureau warning, because now we're all shopping online. Amazon.com is doing a great job for me and my family. But PayPal accounts, there's a phishing scam that what happens is con artists will be emailing you a fake payment confirmation claiming to be from PayPal. And that contains a link such as like cancel an order. So if you click that because you didn't really order anything, well, that installs a malware, And so be aware, if you're getting any emails that you're not recognizing or things that you have not ordered, make sure that you don't click on anything. I know it's tempting. I think we've all done it. However, you know, just be aware. And if you're going to Emerald Square Mall today, God bless you. And also finding a parking spot, oh no. But I do have an in with someone at the mall. They say the best time to go shopping there is Monday. Monday, for some reason, is very slow. And at nighttime, you can get in and out. But during the weekend, whew, it's like the Indy 500 trying to find a parking spot. So good luck with that. Be patient and don't lay on your horn waiting for a parking spot. Oof, that just irritates the heck out of me when people do that. And what is the I want to know from you, our number is 508-222-1320. What is the correct time limit that when you go into your car after shopping and you sit there, right, and you've got somebody putting their blinker on, knowing that, you know, okay, I know that you want to get my spot, but I've got to put my seatbelt on. I want to look at my phone for messages. I want to answer my email. And then if you toot at me, guess what? I shut my car off, and I just sit there, and just for spite. And I'm not a spiteful person, but it's like, come on, seriously, really? So is there a protocol? I mean, are we going to have, like, parking spaces that says limit 5 minutes once you sit there? There's be a sensor there. And if you don't move, your car will automatically, like, there'll be like spikes come up and they'll blow out your tires or something. I don't know. But I'm just saying, you know, there should be like a decorum when we park our cars that we are entitled to like 5 to 7 minutes. You know, what's your hurry, for God's sakes? You know, it's not the end of the world. So that's my spiel on that. And outlet shopping, oh my gosh, the Rentham outlets. Whew, I don't even know what to say. You won't find me there, but a lot of people can get some really great deals at the outlets. And I just wanted to mention that the Rentham outlets on Route 1A, excuse me, they're offering this really great thing. They're helping the elderly. Now, it's called Elves for the Elderly Giving Tree, and it's located at the food court. So basically, if you go there, you can pick out an ornament which would have like an elderly person say they want a sweaters or socks or something. So you go shopping and you buy that item and you bring it back to them, and then they wrap it and then they give it to someone. But the deadline is next week, December 10th. So, I mean, if you want to do that for the elderly, you can certainly go up to Rentham Outlets. And again, good luck finding a parking spot out there, because that is crazy busy. That's even more insane than it is. Rentham Outlets is really, really packed because there's over 120 stores there, and it is a nightmare for shoppers. So go early, I guess, when they open, or go later, and then you might be able to find a parking spot. But if you're waiting for a parking spot and somebody's not getting, you know, they get in their car and they're not putting on their backup lights, don't toot the horn. Just take a deep breath. Breathe, people. Breathe, you know? Anyway, there are a lot of different events, and oh my God, I want to talk to Jim Corbin too, because there's something about a special thing that's happening with the moon, and I won't spoil the surprise, but there's supposed to be a spectacular one coming up. If you're in the Attleboro area, I wanted to mention the Festival of Lights at La Salette Shrine. It's it goes right through till January 1st, and this is over 300,000 lights. I'd hate to see that electric bill. And at La Salette Shrine. And it's really spectacular. It's not only spiritual, but you can go up there and there's music playing throughout the whole park. And I mean, there's a religious center, there's a stand for beverages, hot chocolate for the kids. I mean, it's just really spectacular. And and the way that they have it, there's plenty of parking, so you don't have to worry. Here we are back at parking. But you can just go and park and walk around. It's really great. And if you have children that are a little unruly and you don't want to park, you can just roll down the windows and just make a little beeline in and out of the La Salette Shrine. You can listen to the music and see the lights there. But there's nothing like getting out of the car on a crisp winter night and just walking around and through the the shrine. It truly is spectacular, and I highly recommend it. And also, too, a yearly thing that is always in our area is the Polar Express train. And it runs through till December 23rd, and it's at One Depot Square in Woonsocket. And it includes a complimentary photo with Santa Claus. So check that out. And this is something really unique. I meant to talk to my son about this, and if I wasn't going to the cookie swap, I would have taken one of my granddaughters. But it's Gingerbread House Decorating Contest, all right? It's from 9 to 5 at the Artist Exchange on 50 Rolfe Square in Cranston, okay? And it's for a family. For $15, you can go there, and they'll give you a preformed gingerbread house that's already put together. However, they'll give you a huge bag of candy, and then you and your family decorate this beautiful gingerbread house that you can take home. And it's judged if you want to enter into the contest and everything. But it's, I thought, man, that is such a great idea. It really is wonderful. And I wanted to mention, too, if you're into ice skating, I know that Providence by Kennedy Plaza, they've got their rink up and running. And also, too, they're calling it Winter Skate at the in Patriot Place on Route 1. So they just started that as well. So you want to check that out for, let's see, what's going on in our area here? Oh, yeah. The Trinity, Trinity Church in Wrentham from 9 to 3 today has their annual Christmas Bazaar. And, of course, all these bazaars are, oh, my God, there's just so many of them to just really read out. But the local ones I will. St. John's Episcopal Church on Pleasant Street in Franklin has a huge one from 9 to 2. I mean, this is really huge. Really check that out because that is going to be spectacular. And I was with some friends last night. We went out to dinner, and they were saying the artist at Slater Park in Pawtucket, there's this huge arts and craft fair. It used to be a, I think it is the Farmer's Market over by the Met, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in that whole area. It's an old mill, but they have like artists come and they have arts and crafts, but they also have a little mini Farmer's Market too. So that's in Pawtucket, so you want to check that out. And locally, if you're interested in going to see a great play, local theater by local actors, A Christmas Carol, is playing till December 17th right here, and it's the Attleboro Community Theater that's putting it on, and it's really great. It's only $20 to see this wonderful play. You can call for tickets at 508-226-8100. So you're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take a quick break, and on the flip side, we have our good friend Jim Corbin calling in, and then we have lots more with lotteries and everything else happening here with Out and About with Elaine. So good morning, have a first cup of coffee on us, and meet me back right here after these messages.
Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit bring.
The City of Attleboro's annual Holiday Happening Celebration will be held from noon to 3 p.m. on Saturday, December 2nd in Capron Park's Newell Shelter. Santa will be taking a break from his North Pole workshop to spend some time with kids at the celebration. The event will also feature a tree lighting ceremony, pony rides, tractor hay rides, and face painting. And because Santa loves yummy treats, there will be free pizza, cookies, and hot chocolate.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's gonna be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't, it's too heavy. Oh my God.
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
For over 46 years, Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, has been offering services and programs for children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other disabilities. Amigo has been committed to building vital relationships with their expanding community on the local level. From day programs to transitional planning, Amigo provides a continuum of services and support for all ages. For more information, you can view their website at amigoinc.org.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
I'm going to read you a story for Christmas is for Kids. Peggy is a lovely little six-year-old girl, and Mommy has taken two jobs to keep her home with her daughter and little sister. This year, Peggy is wishing for a Happy Together dollhouse, a Barbie-style cutting, you know, it's this one that has the styling head. And Peggy also likes to read at a third-grade level, and she loves spooky books, but I'm sure any book would be greatly appreciated. Mom is hoping that Santa will bring Peggy a new warm winter coat and maybe a pair of leggings. And of course, Mom, Peggy, and her little sister would always be very thankful for anything, anything Santa Claus brings. You know, Peggy is just another example of over 1,000 children who needs Christmas this year. Can you imagine waking up at Christmas morning without any presents at all? I know you can't, but there are so many children in our era that need our help. So, listen, maybe you can help out. To learn more about how you can be a part of Christmas is for Kids, please call their helpline, and they're open today from 9 to 5, 508-226-0911. A volunteer will pick up the phone and will find a child for you within your budget. Please remember, Christmas is for kids. Thank you. Okay, we're going to get back with Jim Corbin, and he's going to give us the latest and greatest about what's going to be happening. Sunny skies and 85 degrees, right, Jim?
Yes, down in Cozumel and Cancun and places like that, Mexico. Actually, you know, Elaine, it's been a very interesting last, like, week, 1 to 2 weeks for late November and now 2 days into December. It's been one of the quietest stretches of weather I've ever seen, really, almost any time of the year. There's almost been no rain or snow in the entire 48, the lower 48 United States for the last 2 weeks. So we had a little bit of rain you might have noticed. Some might not have noticed if they didn't get up early enough. Not last night, but the night before, it rained between around 2 a.m. and 6 a.m., and that's it. Other than that, almost nothing else was going on around the entire country. Now, that we're going to change that over the next week, and we're going to get a little more active. But today, not bad. We have a very nice weekend. Of course, we have the football games, once again, high school football at Gillette coming up today. I believe there are 5 games there. And anything else that's going on, and I know this, what's the event that's going on in Attleboro today, Elaine? I know Don was talking about it earlier in the week. Something going on today in Attleboro, though. Kind of some sort of an event. What is it?
You know what? I really don't know what he's referring to.
Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah, because,
that's all right.
I had mentioned some other arts and crafts things and that, but I wanted to ask you about the, there's going to be this lunar moon. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I have. What that is now, again, today and tomorrow are very similar. We will have the sun coming up in the next 45 minutes from now, just around 7 o'clock or just under 45 minutes. We're going to have sort of a filtered sun both today and tomorrow. And I'll get to the moon in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Temperatures both days in the mid-40s, down near 30 tonight. What's saving us from a really cold night is the cloud cover mixing with the moon. So although we will see the moon over the next few nights, again, with a full moon officially, the full cold moon, tomorrow is when it officially is here. We are going to see sort of some cloudiness with it. But what it is also the closest approach to the moon this year. Remember the last few years, they've dubbed the close moon the super moon. That's only been the last few years. In the past, we've just called it a large moon. But now, of course, in the day of the online, everybody's online talking about everything and everyone knows what everyone is doing. Super moon was kicked in about 5 years ago. So what it is the closest approach of the full moon for the entire year. And here we are less than a month away from the end of it. So the moon averages about 239,000 miles distance from the Earth. It's usually a little above that, further away, or a little closer. Today and tomorrow, again, this evening and tomorrow evening, and even Monday evening, which actually might be the best viewing of all, because Monday I think it's going to be mostly sunny and then clear, the moon will be about 225,000 miles away. You say, well, that's still far away, but it's 14,000 miles closer than what it averages. And the interesting thing is next month, the moon will be about as far as it ever gets. The next full moon in another month or so will be about 254,000 miles away. So if you're a keen observer of the full moon tonight, again, it'll be rising just about sunset. So as you see the sun going down in the southwest at around 4:15, you want to look the other direction towards the east, and you'll see that moon coming up. But there may be still a few clouds mixed in with it, but it's going to look very large, very huge, 14% larger than the average full moon. And, of course, we all know the moon always looks bigger when it's near the horizon, because we have the horizon acts like almost like an illusion, because you have something to compare the moon with. Think about it. When you see the moon high up in the sky, the full moon, it's nice and bright, but it doesn't look as big. And that's because of the looming effect. But the bottom line is, yes, we have a full moon this weekend. Again, a few scattered clouds mixed in, but it's a very close moon. Also, because of that, high astronomical tides. So the high tides will come way in, and the low tides will go way out. Now, there are no storms for the next few days, so therefore there are no strong winds to cause trouble with that. But if you're someone who likes to see, wow, the high tide is coming in way up on the south coast, well, you'll be interested in that. By the way, the tide was just high within the hour. So if you're someone who has, maybe if you're going to be down near the coast either tomorrow in the early morning or early evening, that's when the high tides will be. And then the low tides will go way out. So people that do some clamming places where they love the tide to be way out low, they will like this the next few days. Now, in terms of weather, sunshine mixed with clouds both today and tomorrow, mid-40s, mid to upper 40s on Monday, and then we'll start to see the gradual change in the weather pattern beginning Tuesday. Now, Tuesday will likely start out with sunshine, increasing clouds in the afternoon, and then we've been monitoring this now for the last week or so. Tuesday night and a good portion of Wednesday, there will be some rain, mild temperatures in the 50s, and it will be quite breezy from the south. Now, after that, we're going to start to see a weak portion of the polar vortex come down through the Great Lakes, and we'll be right on the eastern edge of it as we go through late Thursday and Friday. So late this week, or this coming week, again, after this weekend, by Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we do have our first chance of seeing a few snowflakes in the air. Now, they will likely be mixed with a few rain showers as well. The following week, not this upcoming week, but the week after, that's when we have even more slightly colder air than even that. Nothing record-breaking, certainly, but cold enough. That's when we would have any precipitation that would fall then would have a better chance of being mostly snow. Snow. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, will we have enough moisture to cause anything troublesome? Right now, it doesn't look like it. But the theme, Elaine, by late next week, so about a week from right now, we may be dealing with mixed rain and snow showers across the area.
Wow, no kidding, because that was one of our first questions I wanted to ask you about our first, you know, official snow. So we might have we may have snow before Christmas.
I think we will. I think it's a pretty good bet. Now, it may start to shut off for a short time after Christmas for a time, but last year, I think I mentioned this with you last week, our first snowfall that accumulated was December 5th. Which is actually this Tuesday is December 5th. Now, we're not going to see that. So the first snowfall this year will be later than last year, which, again, as I've said, the last month or so, the later it takes to get snow, the better chance we'll have at least a few weeks of a better chance of a period of decent snowfalls, say, late December or January. So that is something that we'll have to monitor. But, again, our first conceivable chance of an accumulating snow could be as early as next Friday, but more likely the following week. So just stay tuned on that. By the way, with the moon, we have full moon this weekend. Next month, January, we have two full moons. On the 1st, January 1st, New Year's Day, and also on the 31st. So that would be the blue moon. Two full moons in the same month. The first one is named the full wolf moon. Wolf, you know, the animal. And then the full old moon on the 31st. They call it the old because it's for various reasons. And here's the interesting tidbit. For the first time in 19 years, we will not have a full moon in February.
Really?
Yes, because February only has 28 days, obviously outside of leap year. And because the full moon is on the 31st of January, the lunar cycle is 29 and a half days. We can't fit it in 28 days in February. So the next full moon will be the 1st and 2nd of March. And that would be the next full moon. So it only happens about four times a century.
Wow.
where you don't have a full moon in a particular month. And almost always it's the month of February because it only has 28 days most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is interesting. What about this meteor shower that's coming our way?
Yeah, that's the 13th. That's the Geminid meteors.
Right.
So it's centered in the constellation Gemini. And if you know star chart where that is, Gemini, what it is, again, as we always say with these meteor showers, they aren't coming at us. We go at them. So there's always dust. It's like walking through a swarm of gnats. So, there's a swarm of gnats lurking in the distance miles away. And the Earth is gradually getting closer and closer to it. Of course, it's moving very fast, thousands of miles an hour. So when it runs into these gnats, the gnats appear to be hitting us at thousands of miles an hour, but it's us hitting them at thousands of miles an hour. And that's what you see with meteors. So
right. There's
a bunch of stuff out there that the Earth's going to pass through, centered around the 13th of this month. Either day, just like the full moon, either day before and after, you can also see it. But it peaks on the 13th, the Geminid meteors. So the next time I talk with you, we'll talk more about that. But
that is
typically the best of the year. And this year, the good news is, because we always have, speaking of the moon again, we always have to worry about if there's going to be a full moon near a meteor shower, that's not good because the full moon makes it bright on a clear night. It's tougher to see them. This time, we're only going to have a little thin crescent moon. So assuming it's clear around the 13th, that should be a good view for those that like to look at the meteor showers.
Right. Oh, wow. You're full of information. This is awesome.
By the way, here's two quick Christmas things I've thought of, and I'll end. I know you want to get to the break.
Nope,
and again, next chance of rain Tuesday night and Wednesday. Until then, just seasonably chilly. I used to do, on occasion, just a few years ago, when I was able to put up a tree where I lived before, I've had real trees over the years as well, but a fake tree for two or three years, a fake tree that was looked real. And also, what you do is you can buy this, like a scent that smells like pine trees, and you put it right under the tree, and it aromas the entire room, and you feel like it smells like the tree is a real tree.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy this scent. It's almost like a candle, except it's not a flame, but it's like incense.
Right.
And it smells like pines, and generally smells like the outdoors in a Christmas tree, and you put it in the room, and as long as the fake tree looks real, like, you don't want to look silver things, but so it's a real tree. I mean, it's a fake tree that looks real, and you say, oh, yeah, but you don't smell anything, blah, blah, blah. Well, you put underneath it this incense that smells like pine, and you feel like you have a real tree in them.
Oh, my God, that is amazing. Thank you for
I know a lot of people would rather go out and have the tree cut and bring it in, and all the needles come off and everything else. But if you're someone
yes.
who likes it more neat, you just put the tree together that you do every year. Of course, mm-hmm. you save money. You don't have to buy a tree every year.
Well, here's the thing. My boys were in North Attleboro. They were Boy Scouts. And every year we'd go to, they would have a stand that would sell Christmas trees. Well, in Attleboro, across the street from the Literacy Center and the courthouse, there's Boy Scouts there. So last year, this year, I'm going to always go back and support my Boy Scouts instead of getting but it is a real tree. My dad always insisted, I had Charlie Brown trees in the past, but this, I find that it's just so great to come home and flip on the lights and have that smell of real pine. It's just really
awesome. And I know that is really the best way, but there are some people that say, I don't want to pay for a new tree every year, or I feel like I'm cutting down a tree. They didn't do it. Obviously, the farm did it, wherever they got it. They cut down a tree, and there are people that, the tree only lived for like a few weeks, and that's it. And they feel guilty throwing it out in front of for the trash and stuff. So I've heard that in the past. So
right. Anyway. Right.
The other
All
thing,
right.
quickly,
yeah.
online, buying,
yes.
buying online. The only negative I can think of now is all these people stealing people's packages at the door unless they can get them inside.
Right.
Every day now you see a video of someone stealing someone's package at the outside door. So
exactly.
That's the one negative I can think of, unless you're someone who, wants to get it right away and pick it up at the, at the place where they
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah, you can do that, or a lot of people ship it to their work. And
I've done that too. Yeah, yeah. I've done that too. Where you know they're open and the door will be open and they'll be able to get in instead of just leaving it outside. Anyway, have a good week, Elaine. Will I talk to you when next?
Yeah, we're live every single Saturday. We'll see you regularly time next time. But I'd like to invite you. I know Tom is going to come in on the 23rd. If you're out and about, and would love to come in the studio on the 23rd. It's our Christmas wrap-up show, so I'd love to have you come down.
Sure, I'll be there.
Wonderful. Take good care. Have a great week.
All right, Elaine. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Okay, there's Jim Corbin. I just wanted to mention, too, and thank you, Jackie. New England Sports Village, they have public skating also. And every Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 4, there's much more information about New England Sports Village. And I will have Jackie on to tell us all about what's going on over there. I'm not too familiar with all the activities, but I hear it's a great sports center. So if you're out and about this week and want to take the kids ice skating, you can go to the New England Sports Village from 2 to 4 today or tomorrow, public skating, and have a blast. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. We're going to take a quick break, and on the flip side, our veterans agent from the city of Attleboro will be here in studio.
Sunday, December 10th, from 10:30 to 11:30, join Oak Knoll Wildlife Sanctuary on their monthly sensory explorations hike of Attleboro Springs Accessible Reflection Trail behind La Salette Shrine. Attleboro Springs trails are designed to be accessible by wheelchairs and strollers. The group meets first at the Oak Knoll Wildlife Sanctuary, then drives over to Attleboro Springs for a hike and nature experience. In case of inclement weather, all programs will instead be held in the Nature Center at Oak Knoll. Registration is required for the hike. You can register at Oak Knoll's website or by calling 508-223-3060.
Of course my kid's in the right car seat. Well, I think he is.
Yeah, my kid's in a booster seat. He was ready to move up. He is ready, right?
Her car seat looks like the right size.
There are probably rules on when to move up to a booster seat, aren't there?
Rear-facing, forward-facing? I think I have it right.
Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Are your children in the right car seat for their age and size? Don't think you know. Know you know. Go to safercar.gov/the right seat.
I know my child's in the right car seat, or else I wouldn't get in the driver's seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Staying at home, surrounded by family and friends, resting comfortably, with your illness under control, and support for your family caregivers. That's what most Americans want at life's end. Hospice can make it happen. With the help of hospice, patients and families alike can focus on what's most important, enjoying life together and living as fully as possible. November is Hospice Month. Feel free to contact Community VNA Hospice at 508-222-0118. You can also visit communityvna.com for more information.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320. We do have our veterans agent, Ken, here. He's been kind enough to get up so early and join us today. And I just wanted to do a background on the Veterans Department. And Massachusetts is the only state in the USA that is dedicated to provide services to its veterans population. Isn't that amazing? Every city and town is represented by a veterans service officer. And we are very, very fortunate to have Ken here in the city of Attleboro. So to really kind of get to know you a little bit better, we wanted to ask you, like, what part of the service were you in?
Well, thank you very much for having me here this morning, Aline.
My pleasure.
Actually, to be a veterans agent, you touched that there's a veterans agent that serves every city and town in Massachusetts. To be a veterans agent, it's written into the law that you have to be a veteran. So many times folks will not really know that when they walk into my office. They go, who is this guy? Who am I dealing with here? And it's really sort of helps break the ice, and we can immediately start swapping, you know, maybe war stories or at least boot camp. But I served active duty Air Force for 8 years.
Wow.
I was a fighter jet mechanic, and I did deployment to Iraq and to Afghanistan.
Wow. Well, yeah. We want to thank you for your service. Well,
appreciate that. Appreciate
your
support. Yeah,
my goodness, yeah. My dad served in World War II. My brother was a Vietnam vet, and I have very, very
I come from
great
a long
experience.
Line of Navy boys.
And do you really?
I bucked the trend and I joined the Air Force.
Well, that must have been very interesting, that's for sure. So can you tell us a little bit about what a veterans agent does and what do you do for the city of Attleboro?
Right. So my role is explicitly to improve the lives of the veterans who live in the city of Attleboro. And my scope isn't just the veterans. I can actually help out their immediate family members and sometimes their parents or dependents in other ways as well. And I do that by connecting them to the benefits that they've earned and deserve, both through the VA and at the state level. There's actually a 62-page book in my office that details the benefits that the state of Massachusetts offers over and above what the VA does.
Really?
So that's sort of a little-known fact, but I love to boast about that, and I love to hand out those books. And I say, if there's anything in there that that is of interest to you, I want to know about it so I can help you apply for it. But there's also Attleboro locally is a very patriotic town, city, and there's a great deal of support for veterans and their family members here locally, and I try to stay plugged into what is offered to the local community by the local community. And then it's also important to note that veterans oftentimes will walk into my office and say, hey, Ken, I've got this is my issue. I don't know that the VA helps out with this, that sort of thing. Many times I can fix that problem outright just through the knowledge of the veterans benefits that are available out there. But veterans sometimes will get tripped up in thinking that there has to be a veteran-only solution. But we're also Americans, right? So we've got access to all of the benefits and services that are available to United States citizens. And sometimes the answer is right on the wall.
Right.
It just takes a second set of eyes to see it.
Sure. And I'm sure it takes a lot to come to your office to ask for assistance and help because people are very prideful or they feel that they can manage on their own, and sometimes it takes that sensitivity and that special agent that can identify with them. So it's great to know that you are a veteran and that you can relate to every veteran. But what are you seeing? What services, what are the main services that people are coming for you for help?
So this is probably the one question that I get asked a lot because people like to roll it up and try to say if there's one major need, how do we want to do that? And I have a tough time answering that question because veterans are just as diverse as any other subsect of the population. So the needs of any particular veteran are just as unique as they are. So in general terms, I would say that housing affordability, access to transportation, and some of the things that plague the state of Massachusetts are also troubling to our veteran population. We do everything that we can to help alleviate some of those things. I'm plugged in with veteran nonprofits who can help house homeless veterans and provide relief for veterans who are facing maybe an imminent eviction and they're scared they're going to become homeless. We've got the 7-passenger wheelchair accessible van and then the donation for the new Subaru so that we can get veterans to their medical appointments. So transportation we try to alleviate too. So it's the bottom line is that, like I said, veterans are not unlike the rest of the population and that, you know, we're all in this together.
Sure. Oh, sure. And I know as the winter months come in too, like with fuel assistance and other things, I'm sure that they are reaching out for service as well.
Right. So that's a really good point. I was a military brat when I was growing up, and I spent a lot of time in warmer climates, Texas and Arizona and even Hawaii for a short period of time. And the idea of being cold all throughout a New England winter is not something that I relish. So that's something that is very close to near and dear to my heart. And I actually had a veteran walked into my office earlier this week, said, hey, Ken, I need a new furnace. I don't think it's going to make it through the winter. So there's a couple of options when we're presented with something like that. First and foremost, if they qualify for financial assistance, there's a state There's a state program where I've got direct dollars that I can just get that approval through the state. I do the prior approval, we get the quotes, and we do it responsibly. But there's a financial assistance program available. We can just write that check. We have to be diligent and you know, make sure that we're good stewards of taxpayer dollars. So before we do that, we tap into other local resources that are available. There's a program called LIHEAP, Low Income Heating Assistance Program. And they offer assistance not only with paying the heating bill if you can't pay it yourself, but the example that I gave of a new furnace is also an area that they can help out with. So you just go down and you apply for the assistance, not unlike any other government-type program. But they're actually right here on Pine Street, and I forget the address off the top of my head, but they're in the old school there.
Yes.
With the, yeah.
Right.
Maybe we can grab that address and shout it out to folks. But the bottom line is, if you reach out to me, I can help get you plugged into the program called Self-Help and get assistance. There's also other programs. Columbia Gas offers sort of a payment program. If you fall behind on the payment, you're worried that you're going to get cut off. There's Joffre Oil. I mean, there's a lot of resources that are out there, and it's really just a matter of asking. And we got to know that you need our help if we're going to help out.
Sure. Oh my God, that must be unbelievable. I want to get into one more thing. Tax exemption. I know I had heard an interview with Tom Rafferty about veterans tax exemption if you own a home. Is there what are the guidelines for that particular exemption?
So there's a couple different tiers, and I generally will just take the application and make the assessor make the determination. But the there's a couple different tiers there for what's available if a veteran owns a home in the city of Attleboro and they want to apply for a tax exemption. Sort of the first tier is if you have a 10% service-connected disability. There's a couple other of prestigious military awards that you may have been awarded, like perhaps a Bronze Star or Silver Star. And if you have some of those things that you can demonstrate to the city assessor, and you owned the home as of the very beginning of the fiscal year, July 1st, then you can go down and you can apply for $400 off. And if you're 100% service-connected disabled through the VA, you can get $1,000 off, and it goes all the way up to a full exemption if in the event of a Gold Star family who lost their veteran family member in the service.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a wide range, but it's definitely one of the more popular benefits to come into my office and apply for. Happy
right.
to help out.
Right. And we should give out your number, too, because folks want to contact you after the show.
Great. I'm available at City Hall. The phone number at City Hall is 508-223-2222. And you can either just ask for the Veterans Department when the nice lady answers in the mornings, or you can just dial the extension 3281.
Mm-hmm. Very good. All right. I'm going to hold you right there because we have to take our first break in a second. And I don't want to get into a question and then have to go like this to break, you know? So listen, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Good morning. Our number here is 508-222. If you have a question for our Veterans Agent Ken, we invite you to call right after this break. And good morning, and have your second cup of coffee on us, and we'll be right back after these messages.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about
Project Citizenship and the Literacy Center are holding a citizen workshop to help people fill out that N-400 application for citizenship. The workshop will take place in the Attleboro Public Library's Balfour Room from 3 to 8 p.m. on February 28th. Project Citizenship is a nonprofit agency that works collaboratively with community-based partners to help eligible, legal permanent residents overcome barriers to become a U.S. citizen. If you would like to attend the workshop, you can register by calling Project Citizenship at 617-694-5949. Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is currently looking for qualified individuals to fill various positions within the company. Full-time, part-time, and per diem positions are available, including first, second, and third shifts. By joining Amigo, you will help create a positive client experience for every individual they have the privilege of serving each and every day. For information on the positions available, please call 508-455-6200 or visit their website at AmigoInc.org.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at DoIHavePrediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hello there, Peterman here, and this is Out and About with Elaine. Nice to know that she's gainfully employed. Make my wish come true.
Good morning. It isn't Christmas unless you hear this particular song. Good morning, everyone. You're listening to Out and About with Elaine. Our number here is 508-222-1320, and we have a guest caller coming on right now. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Elaine LaRoche and Mike, and of course, Veterans Agent Ken Boscher. How are you?
We're doing great, Tom.
Good. I wanted to ask Ken a question. He's so great for Attleboro and does a wonderful job. Ken, what can the average person do? Veterans, in many ways, have been not given all the benefits they deserve when they come back from wartime. There's a lot of veterans in Attleboro. What could the average person do? Maybe spend 45 minutes visiting them in a nursing home, you know, that wouldn't take a lot of time, that would really make a difference in a veteran's life?
So that's a really great question, Tom, and thank you for reaching out and asking that, giving the opportunity to get sort of my head around that one. So there's a couple of really great avenues for volunteerism that come to mind, and the Providence VA hospital, I think, is a really great resource. They've actually got a volunteer services office, and people who are interested in giving back to veterans can do so directly by reaching out to them. And I unfortunately can't speak to the formalities of the process because I haven't personally gone through it. But I do know that some of the veterans who volunteer with my office also volunteer down at the Providence VA. And they speak highly of that opportunity, and they can put folks to work with, you know, through volunteerism in a wide range of ways, and they also accept a variety of donations. A great example of the donations that the Providence VA has taken from us is you know, around Veterans Day, some of the local maybe Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops and elementary school students, even all the way up to the Leo Pack over at the high school. We'll put together sort of like thank you veterans for your service cards, and I will hand those out all week long to veterans who visit my office. But then right before Veterans Day, if I've got any left over, and I always do because there's such an outpouring, I'll donate them to the Providence VA. And that way, these cards that these students have put so much time and effort into get distributed to veterans who are laid up at the hospital. If that doesn't appeal to folks, if they don't really want to get involved with the VA, there's a couple of opportunities here locally. I know that the VFW Post 115 has quarterly birthday parties for the veterans who are at the nursing homes. And they're always looking for folks who want to help set up with that, or put together nice small-ish gifts. I mean, when somebody's in a nursing home, there's a variety of restrictions on the gifts that they can receive, no foods and that sort of thing. But if they wanted to put their heads together with the VFW post and volunteer for something like that, they can either get in touch directly with them at 122 Park Street or through my office, and we could try to make sure that they would do that. But there's always definitely a need, and I don't know that there's any really great question or answer to give to your question, other than like just veterans knowing that the support is available is always a very positive thing.
Sure. Well, that's good. I can walk to the Post 115 in about 47 seconds, so maybe I can go over there and see if I can give them some gifts or something.
There's always somebody there on Tuesday nights at around 6:30 or 7 o'clock. Other times, it's sort of hit or miss whether somebody's there working or spending some time there.
Terrific. And Elaine, on a final note here, meteorologist Jim Corman did ask you what was going on in Attleboro. So I did a little research, and since I'm the first fill-in for your show when you, you know, travel to Germany and go to your condominium in California there.
Yes.
there is a pre-concert, a Christmas concert today at 2 o'clock at the First Baptist Church in North Attleboro. It's the Cumberland Lincoln Community Chorus. That's free. Also, there is Pictures with Santa today at 295 Kelly Boulevard in North Attleboro at Briggs Nursery. So bring your little kids.
Oh, my
also,
yes.
Yeah, the Rentham's Lions Club is sponsoring the Rentham Village Premium Outlets. They're hosting their second annual tree lighting. That's at 3:30 at the Rentham Outlet Mall. And one final one tonight at 8 o'clock,
yes.
A Christmas Carol is presented. It's their second performance at the Ezekiel Bates Lodge. And A Christmas Carol is a traditional great theater, and it's a wonderful night. So there's four
things
going on.
Very good.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I've been out and about kind of being sick all week pretty much. But
I can tell because the budget's doing much better
this
week than last week.
Yes. All right. Well, let me get back to this interview. But thank you for calling in, and you take good care, and I'll see you. If I don't see you, I'll see you on the 23rd here.
You will. Thank you.
Wonderful. Have a great week. Oh, my God, he's a riot. He really is. Okay.
Love him.
He is very devoted to our community. We're very happy to have him as well as you. So let's get back. So what are some of the challenges of the position, would you say?
So I think that the biggest challenge, me personally, the only thing that keeps me up at night is that I can't do more. I'm given a really awesome platform to help people with, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are stones left unturned within the city of Attleboro and additional veterans that I could help if I had another me and I could be out in the community all the time looking for those folks. And I think that the job is never done, I think, is the biggest challenge.
Wow,
probably the second biggest challenge is that it's up close and personal with folks who, when they're reaching out, I mean, veterans are, it was touched on earlier in the show, is veterans are a proud bunch. And that's sort of how we're programmed. It's, you know, mission first. The saying is, suck it up, buttercup, and we'll deal with your issues later after the mission is done and completed. And then that time never really seems to come. And so when a veteran is reaching out, it's usually because they actually really do need it and possibly in an extreme way. And so when you're up close and personal with people's issues where they need some help and they don't know how to solve this problem themselves, it's hard not to take that straight to the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges.
Wow, yeah. And the last question before we wrap up is, what's the best part of your job?
Oh, gosh, the best part is there's one gentleman in particular. And the veterans that I work with are a resourceful bunch. This guy, he's a Korean War veteran. And he's a homeowner in Attleboro, and he's been here all his life. And he finally, picks himself up by his bootstraps and brings himself into my office. He says, Ken, taxes are going up. The cost of living's going up. I just don't know how I'm going to make things work anymore. So I says, after an interview, I says, it seems like you're really going to be qualified for this financial assistance program that I touched on earlier in the hour.
Right.
It's Chapter 115. It's a state benefits program. And so I take the application. I get him plugged in at the end of the interview. I say, sir, you're going to be, we're going to be able to, pay you $500 a month, to give you this financial assistance. And he looked at me like he won the lottery. And the truth is that people play scratch off tickets for numbers like that. And I amount of appreciation that he had and that people express to me when I'm able to help them, that's honestly the best part of the job, is just the opportunity to help people. And probably the people who are most deserving, those
right.
that raised their right hand and swore to protect and defend our freedoms. So that's absolutely the best part of the job.
That's great. If you could do a shout out to veterans, won't you do that and give out your phone number and we'll wrap up the show?
Great. If they're, I don't just help those who are destitute and in dire need of help. There's also people who are doing just fine, and I can identify some benefits that I can plug into their lives. So if you're a veteran and you're listening, or if you've got a family member who's a veteran, I want to hear from you. Reach out to me at City Hall. That number is 508-223-2222, And the extension for my department is 3281.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for your service. And thank you for being such an integral part of our community here in the city of Attleboro.
Thanks for having me, Elaine.
You're very welcome. And I invite you on any time that you have an event or something's happening with the veterans, you want to come on our show. I'd love to partner with you as well.
Great.
Great, yeah. So, everybody, there goes Ken, and I just want to wrap up our show before we leave and make sure, like, at the beginning of the show, I was talking to you about being patient about parking spots and everything, and I truly mean that. So, anyway, in closing, I would like to thank Jim Corbin, Mike, who always keeps me on track, has given me a signal, and is playing up my song very quickly, and, of course, our veterans agent, Ken. So for today's show, if you have any information, we do a podcast. It will be online in a little bit. And I remind you that Dominic will be back on Monday from 6 a.m. to 9, followed by Paul Healy from 9 to noon. Our show, Out and About with Elaine, is on each and every Saturday from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., and we have 6 days of live broadcasting. So from all of us here at WARA 1320, thanks for listening, and I hope you'll meet me back here next Saturday to find out what's happening in our community. It drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally.